CUPD.
Let me know what the clock is.
All right, I've got 7 o'clock. I note, the chair, Mr. Benzel, Mr. Gaines, Mr. Jay, Mr. Smucker are present, and Mr. Kurtz is also present. So we have a quorum. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by James, second by Smucker. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Entertain a motion to approve the minutes of October 6, 2009.
So moved.
Moved by Smucker.
Second.
By Benzel. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Is there any public participation? I hear no public participation. I'd like to, I ask unanimous consent, I'd like to move down to item number 7. We have some guests with us to address this issue. And this would be the bids on the swamp barrier project. Okay, so Deb?
Actually, Alan.
Alan, the bids.
Michael Scott.
We took bids for the smoke barrier improvement project at the Champaign County Nursing Home, and we had 10 so bids.
Do we have a handout?
Do you have the bid sheet?
I have one copy.
You can make a bunch of them.
Okay.
For a project of this size. I think all the contractors are very hungry out there. And we had low bid from Bolton Construction Incorporated, but they did not submit several county forms that were in the bid proposal. And the second low, East Central Construction, at $53,572, also did not submit those county forms. The third low, who did submit all the documents, was Commercial Builders at $56,990, which was almost exactly on our estimate for the project. Our estimate was at $56,830. So we still, even that third low, if we go to the one who submitted all the county forms, which are, there were several, general information about the company, non-collusion form, certificate of insurance. So even if we go to that third company who did submit those commercial builders, we'd still be on budget.
What was the difference in the from low to?
The low bid was $43,485, so
wow.
Roughly $13,000.
Was that the high, 56?
No, the bids went all the way up to 87,140.
Do you hold like a pre-bid process to inform?
Yes, we had a pre-bid meeting. And I know at least Bolton Construction was at that pre-bid. And we did talk about the county bid. I'm not sure why he did not provide those.
I'm particularly concerned about the certificate of insurance.
Yeah. Again, traditionally, I guess on our standard projects, we would typically get that from the low bidder after the bid. But I think it was pretty clear in the documents that these were to be submitted, you know, with their bid proposal.
Yes, we're going to ask. Just a second now.
Okay.
Alan, can you tell us about the county's experience, if any, with I guess it would be Bolton and what was it, East Central Construction and Commercial Building.
Yes, Bolton Construction was our general contractor for the elevator addition that was from 1995 to the 1905 building. And that wasn't the smoothest project. We had the basement flooded, the roof leaked, the hole caved in, the water main broke, all kinds of different things. We have not had any experience with East Central Construction. We have never dealt with them. Commercial Builders, they were the general contractor, construction manager for the Ilias remodel in the old nursing home. And, they did a very good job, done on time, under budget.
Okay. Committee question?
Well, I just see here one, you've had some at a bid bond and some at a check. Are you saying that they put up the amount of bond in a check form?
Correct.
Okay. And how, if I may, on these forms, is there a disclaimer when you go out for this bid that all forms must be returned with the bid?
Yes.
Okay.
That was very clear in the document that those were to be submitted with the bid proposal. And we even had an addendum which we issued after just to clarify that. And they still didn't submit.
I mean, there's a variation between low and high bid of about $40,000, and this is more of a general question. Why is it that where are the costs coming in? Why would one company be bidding twice as high as another?
This was sort of an unusual project. It's fairly small, and most of the work is done in the attic, which is very difficult to get to. So it was a hard project to estimate. I mean, even obviously for the contractors, it wasn't even for us. It was you kind of have to guess about really how much time is that going to take your guys to get back up in the attic and down, back up in the attic and down. So it was a difficult project and a small project.
So. I just wonder if it's the kind of thing where, you know, we're going to take a bid for $56,000, but the true cost is really closer to the, you know, $75,000 or $80,000 once they get in there and start doing it. Can they come back and ask us for that additional money they can at that point? Okay.
No.
I would say, based on the experiences I've had, and I know Ron's had some, but usually when you go out, and like he said, a lot of them are hungry now, mm-hmm. but some firms always bid high because they think that they're going to be the only ones bidding. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I've used that as a tool sometimes to renegotiate a bid. Here we can't, but that's why it's across the board. And as far as work, you can find something wrong with just about anything if you want.
Okay. I think Scott's right on target with this. The material costs are fairly easy to figure. You get away from that when you start looking at labor and working inside of an attic and how you access different areas. It gets very, very difficult. So it doesn't surprise me a bit that these are across the board like this. So, known the firms. I mean, Commercial Builders is a very reputable firm, done a lot of work for the county, and I would have no concerns with them whatsoever.
Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. Talking about the forms, 40% of the companies didn't include either one or more of the right forms to us. It seems to me that if they want to secure this contract, that they would have put in the proper paperwork, but it's not just one company, it's a group of companies. And I'm wondering if in the future, so that we can really evaluate these bids, because we threw out a bid that was 43.4, because the form, what form, which form? So I'm wondering if there might be a better way to make sure they understand that their bid will be discounted if they don't come in with all the proper paperwork.
Well, thank you, but I disagree. We've done this the same way. This isn't kindergarten. We're not telling these firms, hey, and we really mean it.
No, I don't mean it that way. I'd like to see what they look like. So just could I get a copy of the forms, the instructions?
Okay. Any other questions? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to award the bid to Commercial Builders Incorporated for the amount of $56,990.
Second. Okay, moved by James, second by Jay. Discussing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, that will be on, that's obviously on the agenda.
Will that be on, that won't be on consent?
No, it can't be.
No.
Can't be. Let's see, what can we do? We can talk about the project, the courthouse project spreadsheet. Can we do that? We're waiting for the county clerk to come because I want to go walk down and look at the space so you can see where he's got his equipment stored before we talk about that item. Okay. Yeah, please. Go.
Okay, the courthouse, the project spreadsheet is updated through what we knew as of like last week. But there are some additional change orders that we want to make you aware of tonight that will be added to this project budget in the near future. And Alan, you want to go ahead and talk about those?
Absolutely. We have two open change orders where there were modifications to the unknown modifications to the roof edge gutter line, which is completed now, and we expect that to be a very small one, and we should have the numbers at any time. I do not have them available tonight. The second one that is open is the premium overtime for the workers for the loud demolition for Saturdays. They worked last Saturday, and I don't know that they're going to be working anymore, so that's going to be closing out also. Another change order for window blinds for $711 to replace the blinds in the clock tower proper, where the new windows, they could not use the old blinds over the new windows for different size that we put in. Final two is to maintain the integrity of the roof coating we have already approved to put on the flat roof on top of the building. We're considering seaming the existing joints up there, preparation to make that last as long as the warranty for the roof coating. The roof coating comes with a 10-year guarantee for reflectivity and adhesion, but it does not guarantee a roof leak. And if the existing seaming tape comes loose, we've lost everything we've gained. So to prep the roof properly, we ask them for a price for $7,000. To $7,745 to reseam the existing seams before we apply the roof coating. And the last one is for the cut pointing and repair of the existing new addition facade in front of the new addition.
Just so you're talking about the curved wall that's in front of the new courthouse, not the old courthouse.
This spring we looked at it and it was showing efflorescence and the white stuff coming out of the brick, and we asked for a cost to have it cleaned to make it look well. And during close inspection, it was determined it's leaking, taking on water. There's cracks and fissures in the joints. And to bring it back to its original condition, the change order for that would be $21,880. It's in very bad shape, and if we do not repair it soon, freezing possibly this winter, we could have bricks falling.
Okay, what's the total?
So the total of all those change orders is in the neighborhood of about $30,000, $30,000 to $32,000, which is going to take this total project budget over $7 million, and we wanted you, the committee, to be aware of that. At the same time, I will also let you know that after these change orders and after paying out all the balance of the cost for this project, the balance of cash remaining in the court's construction fund will be $1,054,238. So the funds are there in the court's construction fund.
Yes.
Alan, do we know where the water is coming from, on that curved wall? Is it coming through the brick, or is it leaking in from somewhere else causing that? That's not that old, is it? What is the age on that? I can't recall.
2002.
Yeah. 2002. Yeah. It's
It's coming in through the top stone, through the joints, down inside the brick, which has loosened, and now it's coming in to brick size also.
I'm assuming inside of this cost is the cost to fix that,
so that we
are stopping the leak. So, and is that just tuck pointing up there, or are you doing some caulking up there?
Yeah, it'll be repointed and recaulked.
Recaulked, okay.
Are you allowing questions?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. On this overtime for the workers, wouldn't that be covered by the original contract? The premium overtime that you talked about, I mean, why is that an add-on?
It's an add-on because we had when we started removal of the stone banding and large pieces of stone that was so loud and
we had complaints.
Several complaints from our offices, so we asked them to
change their schedule.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, follow up on Ron's question, that just sort of alarms me to think that building that's O2 and already needing that type of work. I hope that none of us know for sure that the work we're getting done now on the exterior of that building, because we've done the tuck pointing and the resealing and everything, that it lasts longer than 7 years.
Well, my understanding from the architects, if you'll recall, is we're going to spray this coating that's supposed to be, you know, the new thing that's supposed to extend the life, and they're supposed to leave us with a maintenance program, you know, to tell us what to do. Because they're telling us that with this work done, it's got a 50-year life. Now, the other thing I wanted, Alan, just to mention briefly, is that, of course, we were hoping to close this project out by December 1. But on the west and south side, there are a number of stone pieces that aren't even here yet to be installed. And obviously, you can see that the weather is changing. And we are very concerned we're going to be able to get this project closed out before winter sets in. A couple other issues have arisen regarding deteriorated molding because of the construction, you know, the shaking and vibration of the construction, that there's some areas around. And I expect to have a report for you at our next meeting in some detail about that. And I guess that brings up the next general discussion, which is, do you want to have a meeting in December? That would be the main subject of the meeting, would be to discuss sort of the finishing of that courthouse project. Or do you want to not have a meeting and have it presented to the full board?
I just say for that issue, in my mind, if that's all we're going to have, just present it to the full board. It's not going to be a big discussion. But I do want to say on that, you know, looking at old buildings like we all do, my land, tuck pointing was done maybe every 30, 40 years. Now, technology, I thought it was greater than this. That's my 2 cents. I don't know how everybody else feels about the meeting. What about you, Ron? You're busy and think Christmas.
What do you say? I'm going to just leave it for the full board?
I think it's fine.
Yeah. Sean?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Sam?
Okay. I see no reason for an additional meeting.
All right.
We could do the tour.
All right. Let's go look at the space. And then hopefully
I'm going to take that.
When
I've
already done that.
So,
we can go ahead, and he said he tried to get here at 7:30, so. Well, it's all hard to talk about, but I
understand. The operations.
Well, on November 7th, Stan and Sam and I, was there too, went and looked at that space. I don't know if Ron, you or John have had a chance to go over and look at the inside of that South Highway garage. But it's clearly, in my view, it's clearly not amenable to the kind of storage for electronic equipment that he needs in its present condition. It does need some significant interior work on it. And so Deb and I talked about it, and of course she wrote the memo that's in the minutes, and I concur with the recommendation that she's done. So I guess the question is for the committee, what do you view the options are, and what's the committee's pleasure?
And if I could, just sure. One additional piece of information that was not included in the memo but has come up since then is the fact that if we do proceed with the recommended action in the memo, what we would be doing is creating a storage area that is climate controlled and appropriate for the storage of this equipment, but it would also be long-term appropriate for storage of records, which is another significant issue that many of our offices have. So even if ultimately, after we develop a more comprehensive long-range plan, if it did not seem that the county clerk's election storage is best addressed in this space, it is not like the investment in this space would be wasted, because I think we will still have significant needs for every office in this building would ask for more storage of records if they could have it. The circuit clerk constantly every year, it's a request that she has, and some of the other downtown offices find that the storage that they have in the basement of the courthouse is not necessarily always adequate. So I just wanted to point that out, that even if in the long term the county clerk didn't stay in this space, that the space would still be put to good use based on the investment that we make to create a climate-controlled environment in this space that is appropriate for his storage needs. That also has been reviewed with him, and he did concur that, you know.
Sorry. Committee members? Mr. Benson.
Well, I see in here that we're talking about a cost for AE of not to exceed $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea on what the build-out cost on this may be, or too early to tell?
Not until, you know, actually we have someone look at it and they really review with the county clerk what the needs would be. That would be what would be accomplished through the AEs looking at this building. And we've always known that to finish this project, we needed an architect or engineer to at least provide some assistance with what it needed. Right, Alan?
That is correct.
I guess, if I may, follow up on that. I understand the need, and I appreciate the need. The concern I have is with the limited budget we have, if we're going to spend 20% of that roughly on AE fees,
That's not to say that the AE fees would be $20,000.
I understand that.
$20,000 is your plateau in the purchasing policy. And I just wanted you to know that it would not trigger the need to issue a request for proposal under the purchasing policy guidelines.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about spending money on AE fees if we find out that the cost of this thing is going to be far more than what we can afford. And it's a catch-22, I know, and it's just so difficult for me to say. If we got $111,000, it seems like we blow through $100,000 around here pretty fast.
Mr. Sheldon, I was wondering if you could sit in the seat next to Mr. Reinhardt or up at the table so that we have you here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sir. I could run to my office if there's an extra copy of the memo. That'd be great.
So I don't know where I'm going with that. I was just voicing an opinion.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, nice I am.
I guess the first thing you could do for us, Mr. Sheldon, is sort of describe the overall need that relates to the election equipment and how if it's better to have a unitary space as opposed to, you know, it looks like you're broken up right now in this building, and if you're in. One of the questions that people asked down on the tour was, why can't you look at the election equipment in the space where most of it is? That was a question that somebody asked.
The last time I was down there, somebody thought we could look at the 100 tabulators and 100 pieces of the 200 pieces of equipment that go to the polling places and the location where it's at right now.
Somebody asked the question. What
does
it mean?
The reason is because there's just no space to do that.
Okay.
It's, no, there's. I. It would probably be difficult to get 10 out of the 200 units tested at any given time. And then we've already figured out, but we anticipate that we're going to probably try to take county board meeting room for testing, and we'll maybe even use the gym for testing of the automarks when the time comes. There's basically 200 pieces of equipment that go into the polling places. It all has to be tested. Thousands of ballots run through them, teams of, there'll be, during the testing process, we typically would have eight people doing the testing, and then a computer person and me in and out, some number of media, any number of members of the public that want to be there, and then one other person that kind of oversees. So no fewer than 10 people at any given time, and potentially significantly more. And then all the equipment has to be, we've got people coming in and we're scheduled in early December, but I can't recall right now, but all that equipment will be worked on. Every single piece of equipment will be worked on in a preventive maintenance, for example. So that happens once a year, I believe it's once a year. Once a year is what our contract is. So there's three times a year where all the equipment is handled. And then right now, the capacity, what is in that room is less than what is in that room at the time of the testing, actually, because I don't know if you noticed, my apologies for being, I had a previous engagement, so we have these cases that kind of flap over. Well, all those will be filled with ballots, so there will be 95 of those, and they won't be stacked in two stacks, they'll be stacked in 19 stacks of five, and assorted other things that right now are small that will be big, precinct kits and poll records and just all sorts of other things that pop up in the days leading up. Having the space to have that equipment done in one spot certainly helps us. Means that some of the people involved in the process can kind of oversee while they're continuing to work on some of their other things. Certainly, the more space we have, the easier and quicker the testing goes. So when you test a piece of equipment, a tabulator, let's say, you put it on the, I'm trying to think if anybody's been here for, you're all invited, but put it on a table, and let's say it's a precinct and you got, well, for primary, there might be, a precinct might have, let's say, 250 ballots. Could have lots more in primary. So that goes on the table, you open up the thing, you start feeding, person feeds all those ballots. Well, at some point now you turn that off and you get a results tape that comes out, and that results tape has to print out. And then after that's done, then the card comes out, it goes into the tabulator, comes back, and now we read the report, we zero it out, we seal it, we get it ready for the election, now it goes into a box. So all that has to happen while it's on the table. And the next precinct that's going to go in there can't go in there until it's on the table, until this one's off. So if I get seven on the table at one time, right now we can do maybe the place we're at, maybe 15 at any given time. Down there, I don't even know how many tables are there any tables set up in there right now?
No.
Okay. So let's just say in a fantasy world that we get three tables set up. Well, that's maybe nine of these, and maybe 12 if we're lucky, and then now we've got 95 tabulators, and then we've got 95 automark ballot marking devices as well. So
square footage wise,
well,
is the space out there on the east end of the South Highway garage big enough to do what you've just described?
Yeah, the space is big enough to do that. Yeah, the amount of square footage will be able to do that. Yeah, not sure if it'll be able to do it as well as we'd like, but it will certainly be able to do it. You know, I mean, give me a little bit more, then more things happen, and you know, the more space you are, the easier it is to make to organize. And so, you know, our number one thing is, you know, I've lost my person who has done this work, but and she's still working with us on stuff. But you know, this is, in some ways, this preparation of the election is the most important part of, or one of the absolute most important parts. I mean, how many of you recall a polling place in Champaign County not opening at 6 o'clock because the ballots didn't show up, the machine wasn't working, any of those things? In county clerk 12 years, and I've done, that means like 20 elections, this just never happened. It's never happened. And part of it is because we've got a very organized person doing it, but the more space you got, the easier it is to organize. I mean, it's just like you're, you know, when you're really crowded, it's hard to get things in the right pile. But the 95 cases that are going to hold those ballots, it would be, if I stack them up 10 high and I'm having to move 5 down to get to this one, it makes it, that's where sometimes the mistakes happen. So if you gave me more space, would I utilize it and be able to run a better operation? The answer is yes. Can I run a good operation in the square footage that we're talking about in that building? The answer is yes, I can.
Okay. Do you know from your schedule what the time frame is for a build-out of that building, if that's what we decided to do, that is best for you? In other words, you've got a primary election coming up, got a general election in the fall. Would you like to, is there a time frame that, yes, it would be much better if I was in that building on this date, or?
Before, it really has to be before Labor Day, if it, and really preferably by August 1st makes it, you know, like, wow, we're not stressing out over everything. And more time makes it easier to make sure everything's going right and we're organized, and, you know, we're going to take all of our plans and our procedures and kind of revamp those. Probably if we get in there in July, then we kind of are able to revamp those things and get them, those procedures, hopefully in line, and go over them and make sure that we know what we're doing. We just redid it, kind of our procedures for where we're at,
right.
You know, and it takes a while.
Do you have any money for us?
Do I have any?
I just wonder if there are any grants or anything
not for this, and this has actually been, people have asked, and this has been specifically denied by the Election Administration, Election Assistance Commission in D.C. that handles all the grant money. I think we are still the only county in America to have gotten money to make modifications to our own space, the $13,000 that we got for the absentee voting area. So. My thought right now is to take out your blessings.
Oh, no, I am. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Kurtz, this way. Okay. Do any committee members have any questions? Mr. James?
Well, I'm looking at these recommendations, and based on the tour and the things I saw, that $110,000 is going to scratch the surface, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done in there based on what he's going to need to have an operational type facility in there with heating, ventilation. And based on the costs I've seen on other projects we've done, we're looking just in heating and ventilation. I would be afraid to estimate anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000, if not more. So $115,000 isn't going to scratch it. And Steve, you and I, as I looked around in there and I pointed out, you know, the gaps in the doors and everything else.
Doors.
Yeah, and, you know, we're just looking at a host of issues there. I hate to put somebody off, and I realize the situation, but when I'm reading this, you know, if we have a plan and we're looking at a plan and we know for sure we're going to be putting money aside, my mind would tell me, wait till you have that money to do what's right, because it seems like we're piecemealing everything all the time, and then we have to go back and readjust, and we're moving people, and there's costs associated with all that. And I saw in this recommendation about moving the physical plan over to that building to use it for now, and yes, it would alleviate some of the crowding over at Gill. And Deb, I mean, you said what that lease is costing us, and that would be a cost savings down the road to put back into our bank account for that building fund. But I just don't know how we can get all that done now that we're putting the corner in there and what have you. But it's, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but at this point, Mark, I hate to tell you, this 115, you'd be lucky to get some decent carpet in there.
I think we can get a pretty good carpet for other
You have to understand, this was still going to be designed to be storage. I mean, it's not intended to have office-type finishes in it.
Right, but it's going to have to be the type of storage that's suitable for the millions of dollars worth of equipment.
The most critical issue is the climate control and HVAC system.
Right.
That would be appropriate to take care of that space.
And that, I mean, based on what I saw, I'm just letting Ron and Jay know they weren't there, that means a lot of insulation and work inside prior to.
Well, I don't understand why our guys can't do that, Alan.
We can do some of it, yes. We cannot do the engineering or the
space. Right, I understand that. Right. But.
And what about the floor? Is that something that we could do? I mean, we can at least lay down a sealant all over the floor to make it smooth.
That is a possibility, yes.
I mean, if we can do a lot of the work ourselves, it does bring the cost down considerably.
Bring some of the cost down, but...
I mean, you're not going to get around the HVAC.
I mean, I look at, they're already scattered thin, trying to keep up. We have a host of other buildings they need to work on, and we have the chiller. I'm just looking... We have chiller incidents and everything else, and we got them tied up in a building, and I can't speak for Alan, but I know if I'm doing a project and I'm constantly pulled off, it's a nightmare, you know, and then everybody else will get it done, and the mark's sitting there like, you guys are behind schedule. You got to really plan it out, and maybe I'm off the wall on that, but I just don't, and I may be wrong, maybe Alan's crews are great, but I remember a restroom we waited for 2 years to be able to use.
Any other committee members? Deb, do you want to say something?
And just a couple things. What I've heard from this committee previously is that you had a concern that we had invested in the exterior of this building and now we weren't doing anything with it. I've heard and I recognize and we intend to work on your concerns about having a long-term comprehensive plan for facilities. Doing the AE work to determine what this building needs to make it usable is an expense that has to be done in order to develop that long-term plan. Believe it or not, we are going to have to spend money on engineering to come up with the real cost for all of the facilities that you own to determine what is the appropriate budget to establish and what should we be planning on doing. And we don't have the staff to do that engineering assessment of all these facilities. So you could look at this as step one. On that comprehensive plan by starting with this building where you have already made an investment in the exterior, which some of you were concerned about letting go to waste because that's already been done. And if after the AE assessment it is too costly, at least you have the AE assessment for moving forward and documenting a comprehensive plan for all of the county facilities. So I would just ask you to take that into consideration as you're looking at this decision.
If I may, I have no objection at all to the study because I agree we need somebody from the outside that's going to really be able to pinpoint exactly what needs to be done and some of the cost. So I'm in favor of the study by all means because we have to do it. There's no ifs, buts, ands about it. So that is step one. But I'm just saying if we're looking to tell Mark that, you know, that 115 is going to cut it, I just don't, or 100, whatever it is, it's not going to cut it, I don't think.
Any other committee members?
I agree with you, Deb, on that, but I also think that the AE assessment on that building is dramatically different if the highway garage is, or if the physical plant's going to occupy that instead of putting equipment in there.
Okay.
So, I mean, what if we go spend $20,000 for an AE assessment to put Mark in there and find out we can't do it, and we end up using that as cold storage space? I mean, you know, we've then spent money for something we didn't necessarily
Wouldn't the AE assessment be for alternate uses?
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
What would it take to do this? What would it take to do that? What would it take to meet the county clerk's needs? What would it take if you're going to make it an office, you know? Wouldn't that be, as long as you've got that?
That's not a recommendation.
Well, I understand that, but it is an assessment of the building. Okay, any other committee members? Mr. Jay? Strangely silent tonight.
Well, I'm just frustrated because I've got concerns about moving forward with this proposal tonight, and I happen to be on the other end of Mr. Shelton's operation. I know how difficult it is sometimes to work and getting in and out of the Gale building was stuck. I sat here thinking about Mr. Sapp. I wish he's here because he pleaded and begged for us to look before we jumped off the cliff, and we didn't do it. We decided we were going to do this thing, and I actually thought that the clerk was going to get more of that space than he's getting, so we wouldn't have to worry about him for the next 50 years. But we ended up giving the sheriff the biggest part of that building. So I'm frustrated. I'm just not for this, but I don't have an alternative. And if you don't have an alternative, my mama told me to keep my mouth shut, and I didn't.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have anything to say.
Mr. Kurt.
I was just thinking timeline. We're going to need to hire an architect. We can't do anything, obviously, until after the primary, because he can't be in the middle of renovations while he's working that, can we?
No, but the design work could be being done during that time.
Okay, and then he needs it, like you said, July 1st, that you wanted to have
Labor Day.
That'd be nice, sir. Labor Day is a drop dead. August would be the best. If it's earlier, the better.
I mean, we'd have to put up with bills. Right, because this is over $20,000.
The construction part.
What's that?
The construction, just like the bid you approved tonight.
Right, it's going to have to go through the committee and then to the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there enough time?
So we don't have committees anymore after the first
That's right. The committee of the whole still has to
happen. Right, it'll happen.
But it'll have to go through that committee, that whole, and then to the board.
Of course it does. We've been doing this for several years.
Right, okay.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying, is there enough time?
Yes.
To do all that?
Yes, there is. That's why we're talking about it now.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion from anybody?
I'll make a motion to go ahead with the engineering, not to exceed $20,000, to see and have an assessment done of multiple uses of that building so we can proceed with possible construction.
Could I suggest a friendly amendment of not to exceed $10,000?
I'll make that friendly if you say 15. That's a lot of work.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Further discussion? Call the roll.
I think that the part of the frustration here, and I'm feeling it too, is just this feeling like we're kind of getting backed into a situation where we don't have other, there's not a bunch of options on the table. There's just really one not that great option and then nothing else. And so, I think long term we've got to change that situation because we just can't keep, because I think long term we're going to, it may be the efficient thing to do now, but long term it's not going to be. We've got to be able to step back and, plan this out, and if this location really probably is better fit for the physical plant or for cold storage or whatever, and we should be looking at some sort of off-site building for this equipment. And I'm not even sure how much how much something like that would cost. How much more something like that, a cheap kind of storage building that we build from the ground up.
My comment is that I've only been here going on, 10 years, and the county clerk has always had the disadvantage in space. He has very particular needs. He's been scattered. He had a time he had his election building. Even it wasn't big enough for everything that he needed to do.
And leaked.
And leaked. We don't have a master solution for him, but he needs a solution. And in some respects, we've been dealing the same way with the coroner for a long time. Had the coroner scattered, he's moved around from this space to that. He's had his inquest here, he's had his inquest there. And so I think we have an obligation to these elected officials to provide them space, to let them do their function as best they can, and we do it the best way we can. Can't manufacture money. Wish I could. If I had had more money, then we'd maybe come up with a county clerk's building. How would that be great? But that's not going to happen while I'm on the board. Deb, did you want to say something?
No, that was it. Thank you.
What?
No.
Oh, okay. Mr. Bentley.
I don't disagree with you on that, Steve. Before that, it was the highway, and then we built a highway building. Before that, it was the jail. We built a satellite jail, and then we built a courthouse. And we're a growing community. I understand that those things happen. if we had all kinds of money, I'd be voting for this very easily. You know, it's difficult. I'm going to vote for it to move to county board. I'm still not sure I'm for it, but you know, let's at least move it to the board and have some discussion there.
And if I could make a comment, what you said a minute ago, Mr. Stucker, we did look at other options when this came up as far as an FBI building and other buildings. And again, the county was in such a budget crunch that those options weren't there. But that's what Jay was alluding to that we had talked about, because for the money, why not put it into a new building versus rehabbing an old? Mm-hmm. You don't win, but you got to deal with what you have, and it is what it is, and it's sad, and you're right. It's always before our plate, so I'm sorry, but I just let you know.
Call the roll.
No, I'm sorry.
Van
Poe?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Smucker?
Yes.
And Beckett?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sheldon, for coming tonight. Appreciate it. Monthly reports. Mr. Reiner.
Once again, supply for your information. We can be very thankful that the weather has been like me. That sounds strange with all the rain, but our utilities are really in good shape compared to what we were.
How are the sun pumps holding up?
They're holding up well so far, yes.
Any questions about monthly reports?
Actually, I have one. I wanted to thank Alan for putting the kilowatt hour report in there for the Brookings and courthouse.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if it would be helpful if I don't know how much of that kind of data you have just back at your office. It would be helpful to see. Historical data going back, as far as you got, or maybe like 10 years or something, so that over the years we can compare month to month. Does that make sense? Not something that we need to see every month, but it would be nice to have it one time, just so that we can see if we are decreasing energy use or increasing energy use. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But unfortunately, we do not have historical records of the actual kWh used or therms used in the building. We do already. We know what our monthly and annual utility costs were, but we do not record that data back then. We can continue to record it and build on for the future, but we cannot back up past virtually this last year.
Okay. We don't have old bills or anything like that? That we could go back and don't you have any insurance or something like that? Assemble that kind of stuff.
Sometimes, if they're individually metered, the utility company can provide you with that data going back.
It's possible we can look into
that. Oh, they are.
Because I think that would really, in terms of implementing this energy efficiency stuff, it really helpful, I think, to have several years of data to look at. Because we're trying to figure out, does it make sense what we're doing? You know, if we're going to reduce the temperature by 2 degrees in these buildings in the winter, is that having any kind of effect on the amount of energy we're actually using? One question is, are we saving any money? But you can't really tell that because the rates vary.
Yes.
So you need to see the actual energy use data. So if there's any way we can compile that, I think, going back 5 years would be sufficient to be able to see, is it going up and then we implement these policies and it goes flat, or does it just keep going up even though we implement the policies?
That sounds like a really good idea, but I have to tell you, I have a serious concern about the staff intensity of getting a project like that done. We are so short of staff right now. I can't imagine that Mr. Reinhart or Renee, who are the only two non-maintenance, non-custodial employees, would be able to take that on in addition to everything else that's required of them to do. And administrative services at the same time we are operating. We have three secretaries. We have one right now. We have two administrators. We have one. I'm sorry. I think we've done this before where you start at a point and you build from there. And I think with this, that's what we really need to do. I think we can build on this for the future. And I think probably we could do comparisons to the same month last year, moving forward through this next year, which should give us some idea. Going back too far is problematic too, because our buildings and their populations have changed so much in the last 5 years with moving into new buildings and things like that. So So I'm sorry, it's just, I just have to say that because I'm sitting here very concerned about saying that we could take something like that on, because right now I just don't think we can. I think our greatest priority right now for Alan's time and for mine with regard to facilities is trying to come up with that comprehensive plan that you all know we need. Mm-hmm. And we really need to spend our time there if we're not spending it on just day-to-day operations.
Well, my feeling is that if it's a matter of having to go back and look at all the bills, you're right, it will take a lot. If this is information that can simply be, you know, sent to us by making a couple calls to Ameren or whoever it is that does this.
But Alan, why don't you tell them what you had to do to come up with this information for this building coming off of the bills?
I created this document this summer. We tried to get a baseline for energy savings number, something to work off of. And I had to go back through each and every month and pull out the actual KWH, separated from the actual billing we have. An example was the Brookings facility. We have a utility cost for the billing itself, plus we also pay for the Art Bartel street lighting. We pay for the parking lot lighting. We pay for different things. So all that has to be taken off each month before we come down with our actual billing amount. And then we have to try to separate the same thing to come up with KWH hours.
So you're saying all those utilities are all on one bill, and you have to break out this building from all those others that are on there?
I have to break down each individual billing to get to the actual usage kind of dollar figure that we have to put on, used to put on the spreadsheet. And each building has its own history report.
So, yeah, they include security lights. Yeah, that's quite an undertaking.
Well, in my opinion, that this information is absolutely crucial for the whole thing that we're doing. I mean, I would be willing to sit down and go through these bills and put it together if there's a feeling that there's just not the staff. And I understand that. I realize we're shorthanded all over the place. But you know, and my feeling is that the space information is crucial for what we're trying to do, and it's very important for me. You know, this is something that I care about a lot. It's something that my constituency cares about a lot. So, I mean, I would be willing to, you know, if somebody wants to teach me how to read one of those bills and make this, you know, I'll sit down and do it.
Sam, but like that, and I just would like to reiterate what she said. I mean, I can see us moving forward with it because now's the time that we're making the changes and trying to improve on the billing. You know, why don't we just do it that way with the data we have and then keep building on it?
Sure.
And then compare. Because really, like she said, with the way the moves have made and the you know, the things we've done as far as the improvements, that's not going to show up previously. And the cost has fluctuated so much.
Right. Well, the cost is the problem. I mean, you know, that's why it's hard to look at the going back and look at the cost historically, because the cost fluctuates so much. And that's why you've got to look at the kilowatts per hour to make sense of it. I just think it just seems standard that we would have this information.
So we're just now implementing this utility plan, so it would help us and be beneficial to look at what we had the last year going forward to see how we are saved.
I still would like to get a motion to receive and place this on file. Mr. Jay seconds. Mr. Bensel moves. Mr. Jay seconds. Mr. Jay, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I understand Mr. Smucker's concern and his energies in this field. I think that this is another classic example where I appreciate what you're trying to do. This is not high priority for us. Under no circumstances it might be for you. We've got serious problems. We can't even address there tonight. And you're asking staff to do more, and that's just not right. So
well,
I say we move on.
I've already volunteered my time to do it all myself. So.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Update on implementation of energy policy for Champaign County facilities. And I guess that's what we were just talking about. Is that right? So, motion to approve to receive and place that on file.
So moved.
Moved by James. Second by Jay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Looks to me like we've exhausted the agenda. Any other business? Without objection, we're adjourned. Thanks, Renee.
that, Steve, or not? Oh, I'll take it.
What, the article?
Yeah.
Bring that.
He saves all that.